You're listening to a CNA podcast.
It was the centerpiece of Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto's election campaign. Feed 90 million children and pregnant women, combat stunted growth and malnutrition one plate at a time, while also increasing the salaries of farmers.
Indonesia has officially launched its first nationwide free meal program today. It is aimed at providing nutritious meals to school-aged children.
That was back in January, but things got off on a sour note. Just 2 weeks in, dozens of children came down with food poisoning. And prior to its launch, critics questioned whether the program could be sustained, given its price tag of an estimated $28 billion. Is there still an appetite for this so-called free program? And how is the government going to keep it going? I'm Teresa Tang. This week's CNA's Saiful Bari Ismail and Chani Vidvani join me from Jakarta to talk about the real cost of the scheme. Saiful, Chani, welcome back.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
We all grew up in different countries. For me, growing up in Canada, there was a hot lunch program at the school, which my parents, of course, they paid into every week. So we had soups, we had pizzas. I thought it was pretty good stuff. I'm curious to know, what was your typical lunchtime meal when you were in primary school?
Wow, Teresa, soups and pizzas for lunch. I'm quite envious of Canadian school kids, right? In Singapore, where I grew up, we don't have a free meal program, but I do remember a milk program in primary school when I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. No, I remember it well because it was, you know, one of those things in life which left an indelible mark and a lasting impression even to this day. You see, I didn't come from a well-to-do family. That milk program was not free and parents had to pay for it. Now, my parents couldn't afford to pay for the milk and so I didn't have my share. Now, I still remember when the packets of milk were brought to class and distributed to the students, and I was one of the few in class who didn't get to enjoy it. I watched my friends consume their milk every day in class, and I had to sit quietly wishing that I had one too. So I'm a proponent of such free meal programs in schools because of my personal experience, and it's unfortunate that Singapore doesn't have such a program.
Well, for me, Teresa, back in the day, we didn't have a lunch program either in Indonesia. And so I used to bring food from home. And I would bring simple things like nasi goreng or fried rice. But I also remember that I loved to snack on otak-otak that the street food vendors would sell right outside our school. And it was this delicious otak-otak that we, you know, back then when you're a child, everything is delicious as long as it didn't come from home, you know, as long as you get to buy it outside. And so it was this delicious otak-otak that we ate with peanut sauce using a toothpick. I agree with Saiful, though. I do think a free lunch program at school is very beneficial and would help many.
Yeah, it's amazing how clearly we remember what we ate as children. Chani, you visited a village in Bogor Regency where a study in 2012 found that nearly 35% of toddlers had growth disorders. Getting kids healthy there really became a priority, didn't it?
That's right. If we look at the data, it shows that communities benefit from placing emphasis on nutritious meals, especially from a young age, especially if you start giving it to them when they're very young. And so if you look at 2012's study, you see that nearly 35% of toddlers there experienced growth disorders, and the largest contribution there was stunting. But if you look at 2024's Indonesian Nutritional Status Survey, Bogor Regency has been able to slash that. It's been able to slash its stunting prevalence rate to 7.59%. Now, I spoke to head of Bojonggede's Rose Integrated Children's Health Post, Ms. Nur Hikmah. Now, she's also a member of the village's family welfare movement. And so she's been very closely involved in this cause for nearly 15 years, definitely over a decade. And so now Ms. Nur Hikmah says that it's very important to also familiarize parents and children with the concept of eating healthy so that they will form those associated habits which will remain consistent and hopefully remain with them for life. You know, it'll go a long way for their own health benefits. Now, this is interesting because Ms. Nur Hikmah also is the principal of the Healthy Happy Preschool. Now, that's a unique preschool which I visited in Bojonggede in the way that they place emphasis on nutritious meals. And so parents and children are both educated on what constitutes a nutritious meal as well as its importance. And they guide parents on the meals to provide for their kids who go to that particular preschool. preschool. So there are no unhealthy lunches, no unhealthy snacks. They do home visits before admitting a child to ensure that it really is those children who don't have the means or who need support to get enrolled in the school, those whose parents' income is more or less below $300. They provide subsidies. And if a child's parents aren't able to provide a food item, there are other parents who help to provide it. Now, the preschool is funded by a non-profit. It's called Foundation for Mother and Child Health Indonesia. It's been funded since 2014. And according to that NGO, their school program is very strict, of course, and they've observed some unhealthy eating patterns over the years. Take a listen.
Children are not allowed to bring unhealthy snacks. In big cities, we have found that for several years, the obesity trend has always been present in our preschool children. And so we also guide them in their nutritional needs.
The heart of Indonesia's free meal program, according to President Prabowo, is all about feeding the underprivileged and to bolster the country's future, Chandni. The kids of today really are the human capital of tomorrow, right? So when this whole idea was pitched to the public, how did people receive it?
You know, Teresa, just to give you an example, when we started talking about this subject just now, both Saiful and myself as well immediately said that we both support having free lunches at schools, free nutritious meals at schools. And so just like us, the general population were very happy and excited about the prospect of this program when it was first introduced. And, you know, this program was one of President Prabowo Subianto's campaign pledges prior to him taking office. And this pledge promised to address public health, boost human resource quality, and propel economic growth. Now, despite having made strides, stunting prevalence in Indonesia is of significant concern. Indonesia has seen a decrease from 30.8% in 2018 to 21.5% in 2023. And the target for 2025 is to further reduce that figure to 18.8%. Now, if we look at World Bank figures, food expenditure is estimated at a maximum of 52% of total family expenditure. And we've seen the same response on the ground in the course of doing this story, where recipients of the program have generally responded very positively towards it. Of course, the rollout has not been without its fair share of hiccups, which means that there have been cases of food poisoning. The budget has also been reduced. What started out as targeting the meals to reach those who don't have the means, those in the outermost areas, and those at the forefront who require it the most, that target has also evolved by the time the program has launched. And the hope is that the program can propel Indonesia in 2045 towards what they're calling a golden era. Authorities want Indonesia to become a developed country, and they don't want Indonesia to be stuck in a middle income trap. Now, the goal is to develop intelligent and healthy human resources, starting with their nutritional intake. Let's take a listen to what the principal of Sleepy 15 Public Elementary School said with regards to students who had already undergone the free nutritious meal trial and were now getting it as part of the rollout.
I previously noticed that students often got sick during ceremonies and assemblies and had headaches. Now, after 2 months of participating in the trials for this free meal program, I feel that the students rarely experience those symptoms. The program is very useful. It is very helpful, especially for children who come from the middle to lower income bracket.
Saiful, this signature program, it also includes a beverage, of course, namely free milk, but milk for 90 million people. It means a lot of cows. And Indonesia is already facing a supply crunch, right? What's going on?
Well, Teresa, Indonesia is indeed facing a shortage of milk and beef, and that's due to a number of factors, actually. One major reason is the country's inability to meet its own demand for milk and beef, leading to a significant reliance on imports. Now, last year, domestic production was able to fulfill only 60% of beef demand, requiring the remaining 40% to be met through imports. Milk production is even more constrained, with local production covering just 20% of demand, leaving 80% dependent on imports. The demand for beef and milk in Indonesia is increasing, driven by population growth and a greater awareness of the importance of nutritious food. However, domestic production is not keeping pace with this demand, resulting in shortages and a heavy reliance on imports. Now, the free meal program is expected to cause an even larger deficit to Indonesia's domestic milk supply. The Agriculture Ministry estimates that production shortage could reach 8.5 million tons. That's 4.9 million tons of milk needed for regular consumption and 3.6 million tons for the female program. Now, smallholder cattle farming alone cannot meet the demands of the population in Indonesia. And to address this, authorities have implemented several initiatives. Mm-hmm. Among them are plans to import around 400,000 cattle this year alone.
Wow.
Indonesia is aiming to import 200,000 dairy cattle and 200,000 beef cattle throughout this year. In total, the country aims to import 2 million cattle for breeding over the next 5 years. 1 million dairy cattle and 1 million beef cattle. Now, that's a lot of animals to be brought into the country. And Indonesia plans to distribute the breeding cattle to its farmers through partnership schemes. Now, recently, Indonesia approved live cattle imports from Brazil. And Brazil, of course, is the world's largest beef exporter. The move aims to expand the countries from which Indonesia can source live cattle, which currently includes Australia, New Zealand, and the US. Indonesian authorities have also set aside more than 90,000 hectares of land in three provinces in Central Sulawesi, South Sulawesi, and South Kalimantan to accommodate these imported cattle. The potential investor is Vietnamese TH Group, which focuses its business on dairy farming and production.
Now, I understand you took this story into your own hands, Saiful. Literally, you milked a cow for journalistic purposes, of course. I want to ask you what that was like, but I'm also wondering, you know, is it as easy as simply bringing in these millions of cattle into the country? I mean, what about that agricultural or ecological balance that I presume needs to exist?
Okay, to set the context, I was at a small dairy farm in Lumajang Regency in East Java, right, for the production of this story. In Lumajang, there are many small-scale dairy farmers and they breed their cows right behind their homes. And it's not often that I get a chance to be in a dairy farm and to see these farmers at work. It's even more rare to get an opportunity to milk a cow. So there are two ways to do this,
okay,
by using a milking machine or doing it manually. I chose to try milking the cow manually, which is the old-fashioned way because I'm an old-fashioned guy, right? But on a more serious note, it's because doing it with my hands involves more action and it just looks better for TV.
Always thinking about the TV. Yeah, great.
So milking a cow involves several steps. The first is preparation. So warm water is used to clean and sanitize the udder and teats before milking the cow. Of course, I had to clean my hands too properly because I will be in direct contact with the cow. Mm-hmm. The next step is stimulation. So I had to gently massage the cow's udder to stimulate the cow to eject milk from the tits. Now, the cow is then ready to be milked, and this is done by gently squeezing the tits. Now, this might sound and look easy, but it's actually not, especially for someone like me who was doing it for the first time. I was afraid of squeezing too hard or causing any discomfort to the cow because these animals have to be handled with care to avoid stress. Now, if the cows are too stressed, then the milk won't probably come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the end, all was good. I did manage to extract some milk from the cow and she didn't end up kicking me. So no one was hurt during filming.
Okay.
The cows in the farm, they are milked twice a day. And each cow is able to produce between 15 and 20 liters of milk every day. And I did ask the dairy farmer how he can increase milk production in his farm. Now, the fact of the matter is that a cow is not able to produce milk throughout its lifetime. On average, a cow's productive life can range from 4 to 10 years. Now, after a cow is no longer productive, it will be slaughtered and the meat will be sold for consumption. So the most efficient way to increase milk production is to have more cows.
Mm.
But as you mentioned earlier, Teresa, increasing the cattle population is a big challenge. Now, the easy part is actually bringing in the cattle, but the hard part is taking care of the cattle once they're in Indonesia. The country's dense population and competing land uses, for example, the use for palm oil, rice, and other crops, can limit the availability of land for grazing, for the cows to graze. Now, dairy farmers like Goshim Romansyah, whom I met at his farm in Lumajang, told me that securing enough feed for the animals is also a challenge.
If I increase the cow population, I will have to increase the amount of grass. It's easy to buy cows, but procuring their feed is difficult. The grass will be plentiful during the rainy season, but during the dry season, it will be scarce.
Chani, you're a mother, as am I. I cannot imagine not having healthy, nutritious food to give to our children. And I know you visited schools in Jakarta and you saw children eating these meals, families depending on this food. And it's really sort of hard to picture taking all of that away from them. How sustainable is the program, though? That's the question, because it's costing billions of dollars more than expected.
That's right, Teresa. Everybody that I've talked to has said that they want to support this program, but industry experts have expressed that they are concerned about some issues. You know, you talked of seeing all the children eating all of those nutritious meals, and we saw them eat the meals very enthusiastically, mm-hmm. I might add. We even saw kids who didn't finish their meals, you know, giving whatever they couldn't finish to their friend who had a bigger appetite. Certain concerns, though, have cropped up, as we talked about it earlier. You know, food poisoning cases did sort of taint this rollout of these nutritious meals. And so industry experts are also concerned moving forward, you know, how authorities plan to, what sort of measures they want to take to avoid more cases of food poisoning, for example, because they're cooking the food at dawn. You know, staff are going in as early as 2 a.m. to do the prep, and then they're cooking the food. And then by the time it's being distributed, it's the earliest it's being distributed is 7 a.m. So kids are not eating, and then they're not eating it at 7 a.m. The earliest kids are eating it is at 8 a.m. and then at 10 a.m. and then noon and so on and so forth. And if they're not eating it and they're taking it home, that means that they're eating it, consuming it much later compared to, say, from the time that it was first cooked. So hygiene is certainly one cause of concern, which authorities have said that they are working to address it and to make sure that, you know, hygiene is of utmost priority. And then, of course, a bloated budget. Now, during the presidential campaign, President Prabowo promised to prepare a budget of some 460 trillion rupiah per year for the free lunches. Now, the Jokowi government allocated 71 trillion for this nutritious meal program. Now, $4.5 billion from the state budget was initially allocated for 2025. Each meal was supposed to cost about a dollar, but then that was cut down to about 60 US cents per person. And the goal essentially was to fully implement this program over the next 5 years to reach 82.9 million Indonesians by 2029. Now, at this point, the budget has more than doubled, and the government will inject an additional $6 billion through budget cuts to reach that 83 million Indonesian target this year. And so, you know, for the first time since 2021, Indonesia posted a budget deficit in February due to a double-digit drop in state revenues. And of course, all of this put the spotlight on President Prabowo Subianto's populist programs. Mm-hmm.
Before we go, Saiful, you know, should this program continue, the issue of the supply of protein and supply of milk, it will continue to dog authorities. So besides cows, what other sources are being considered here?
Yeah, you know, Teresa, there have been discussions on finding alternatives to cow's milk as a source of protein. Authorities are mulling the use of fish milk, which is made from fish, of course, processed into powder form and turned into liquid and flavored to hide its fishy origins. Now, to be honest, I don't know how it actually tastes like. I have not tried it myself. But critics said fish milk might not be the best alternative for children, given how it could contain high sugar levels and considering there's insufficient scientific knowledge on its long-term health benefits. But its supporters have pointed out how the product can be an environmentally friendly alternative to cow's milk, which generally requires more resources to produce. Now, the National Nutrition Agency is also considering including, get this, insects such as grasshoppers in the free meal program menu in some regions as alternative.
Saiful, never thought about that.
But this is just plans. They've not started doing it or implementing it. They're just talking about it. Because the Indonesian government realizes the massive an immense task ahead, right, in trying to effectively and efficiently implement the free meal program, not only this year, but for the next 5 years. Observers said that the biggest challenge facing this program is how to bridge ambition with reality. Mm. You know, it's perfectly all right to have big ambitions and to have big dreams, right, to have big goals, and providing free nutritious meals to school children and vulnerable groups reflects a powerful commitment. But the feasibility of such an ambitious program must be carefully scrutinized, given Indonesia's diverse geography, economic disparities, and infrastructural challenges. Now, there are also questions about what will happen to the free meal program after 2029. Observers said the long-term fate of the program will depend on how successful it can be implemented in the next few years. Now, if the program is a success, then Mr. Prabowo's administration may want to consider making it permanent by establishing a legislative framework so that future governments can continue the program. On a personal note, I think in principle, the free meal program is a good and noble initiative. I'm speaking from a personal perspective about my experience in school, which I've shared earlier. Now, having access to meals should be a right for every student, and the simplest way to go about doing so would be to provide free school meals. This will ensure all students will have the nutrition they need and will benefit students of all income groups. It promotes inclusivity. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Every student in the classroom will get the same kind of food. Mm-hmm. Now, such an environment where differences are minimized will also break down social barriers and promote social cohesion and bonding among students. It also reduces stigma. Now, when all students receive free meals, it reduces the stigma associated with receiving financial assistance. And this promotes a sense of equality. Now, President Prabowo Subianto recognizes the value of the free meal program, and that's why he has made it one of his priority programs. The stakes are also very high for Mr. Prabowo, who has told Indonesians not to nominate him again for president in 2029 if his programs fail. Mr. Prabowo has remained unperturbed by the challenges and has given instructions to accelerate the program. Let's have a listen to what he has to say.
It is logistically difficult to provide nutritious meals immediately to all people. For that reason, I, Prabowo Subianto, President of the Republic of Indonesia, apologize to all parents and children who have not received them. However, I am certain that in 2025, by the end of 2025, all Indonesian children will receive nutritious meals.
This program, it seems well-intentioned, but as we all know, the saying goes, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Chani and Saiful, thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Teresa, for having us.
Thanks, Teresa.
To watch Saiful and Chani's reports from Indonesia, past and present, just head to YouTube and CNA.Asia. There are also TV episodes of CNA Correspondent every Wednesday. They're at 9:30 p.m. Singapore, Hong Kong time. The team behind this episode is Saya Nguyen, Clara Ong, Crispina Robert, and Craig Dale. I'm Teresa Tang. Join me again next Wednesday for a new episode. Bye for now.